It is 10:07 on the Talk of Chicago. Let's get back to reality today. My name is Perry Small, and you're listening to Midday Madness. And we've got a story to tell today. We've got a story. In an Illinois recent 2023 report card, it showed that 65% of the state's 1.86 million public school children cannot read at grade level. That's 1.2 million students. You can dig a little deeper and you'll find a large share of those kids are more than 1 year behind, many basically illiterate. School districts in cities like Decatur, Peoria, Elgin, Waukegan, Rockford, and Chicago are no longer institutions of learning. This is according to WirePoints. Look at the numbers. More than 25,000 students can't read at grade level in Elgin's public schools. It's a similar number in Rockford, and in Springfield, Peoria, and Waukegan, it's more than 10,000 each. And right here in the great city of Chicago, there are almost 240,000 kids not at grade level. It's not just black and brown children. White students are failing miserably, too. As they showed in one of their demographics on WirePoints, more than 470,000 white children statewide can't read at grade level. That's 55% of the state's 853,000 white public school students. So it might be hard for you to kind of wrap your brain around the fact that there are more than 9,500 students that are counting on the Illinois General Assembly to save the tax credit scholarship program. If they fail to act now, then students from low-income families will lose their scholarships, scholarships to places like Leo High School, to maybe even Brother Rice or Quigley South, or maybe to some of the Catholic girls' schools or some of the parochial schools or even some of the elite schools if they're lucky enough to be able to get there. What's so interesting about this is that we know in the wake of the closing of all those schools in the city of Chicago, the negative impact it had on children and their well-being and their mental health. The one thing that all of us who've been pretty successful or consider ourselves lucky is that we went to school with the same kids from the time we went to kindergarten till we graduated from high school for the most part. Same kids. And that kind of stability is important to your social and your mental growth. And you have the opportunity. There was a study not long ago that said that children that are around people that have more wealth than them is a motivating factor for them and what their futures are going to look like for whatever reasons. So many of these young people are going to have to leave their best fit schools, and most of these students are black or brown, and 100% are from households with demonstrated financial need. Additionally, 26,000 more students from low income and working class families are sitting anxiously on the wait list, and they're asking our General Assembly to do the right thing. Oh, the Chicago teachers unions and other unions around the state have their hand in this, and we're going to talk about this with Ted Dabrowski. Ted is the founder of WirePoints, which is an online online outlet that does a lot of watchdogging here in the state of Illinois. Ted, welcome back to the show. The world wasn't in such a hell in the handbasket last time I talked to you.
Hey, Perry, how are you? Good. Thanks for having me back on.
Yes.
No, things don't look good.
No, no, they don't. So, Ted, you have been sounding the alarm for a few years now about what is happening to the public schools in the state of Illinois, how our children are failing. And yet they're boasting, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago, where the Chicago Public Schools was boasting about how many, the improved graduation rates. My thought then, as it is still today, just because you graduate from these public schools does not mean you're educated and ready to go into the workplace, ready to go to for certification or go to any college or university. Why don't you expound on that a little bit?
Yeah, Perry, yeah, you're right. We have been following this education results in Illinois, and the deeper I dig, the sadder I become, the more outraged I become. And look, this, you know, whether kids can read or not, right, whether they're literate or not, whether they can do basic math or not, that's not a red, blue, black, white. It's none of those. It's everybody wants our kids to read. And you know what's amazing about little kids is they're so smart, they're sponges, they're all capable of learning and growing. There is no such thing as a dumb kid.
That's right.
They're all capable. But what we're doing in our schools, and you know, and parents get some of the blame or a lot of the blame too, so don't get me wrong. This isn't about, like, you know, parents have their share of what they should be doing. But let me explain something. Our schools have destroyed what should be an education for our kids. We are spending $45 billion, almost $45 billion between state, local, and federal money to educate our kids in Illinois. And yet, 65% can't read a grade level. Mm. It's even lower, so it's even fewer that can do math at grade level. So they can't read properly, they can't do math. And then where I get really upset, right, is the whole battle between the unions kind of control everything and looking at the minorities, because it's the minorities who bear the brunt of this thing. You know, whites are doing very poorly as well.
Yeah, but white kids can go to private and parochial schools.
That's right.
To get the help that yep. they need without yeah. a tax credits or that from the
exactly.
government. Yeah.
Exactly. But then when I start looking at, you know, let me give you some stats that are just horrific. You know, this is straight from the government. This is not wire points. So Indicator, 95 out of every 100 kids can't read a grade level. 95% can't read a grade level. Right? Peoria, 93% can't read a grade level.
Jeez.
Rockford, 92%. If Chicago looks good, 83% can't read a grade level. So, look, these kids can't read. And then, if like as you said, if you dig deeper, most of them might be 2 years, 3 years behind. How the heck are we expecting the minorities? You know, we talk about the whites as well. How do we expect them to compete, you know, in the future world that's, you know, highly more technological, more demanding? How's it going to happen? And here's the problem. Nobody seems to care, because if anybody cared, you wouldn't have Decatur at 5%, you know, like just 5% of blacks reading at grade level. That wouldn't happen. Everybody would be obsessive. There'd be fights about it. Parents would be fighting. The school administrators would be fighting. The unions would be fighting. Everybody would want to say, we can't have 5% of our blacks reading at grade level. We need to be 20 next year, 50 next year, 100. You know, let's get to 100. Everybody should be literate. And yet nobody cares. And year after year, we just spend more money. The unions block reforms. And here we are. Our kids can't read.
Why is it that the unions are so opposed to choice? And especially with a program like this, we know that our children are not getting the education that they deserve. And you have the unions throughout the state that are fighting against this. Shame on any lawmakers that think that this is going to solve a problem that has been exacerbated by poor public policy for decades now.
Okay, I'm gonna get a little political here.
Okay, go political.
As I mentioned, there's $45 billion being spent. So you think about all the pensions, all the jobs, all the salaries, all the administrators, all the units of government that benefit from this. This is a big, big system that takes care of a lot of people. And we're not talking about small pensions and small salaries, right? The average salary these days at CPS is 85,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the pensions are really good, right? There's just a lot of people protected. And so nobody wants to upset the apple cart, because think about it. If people figure out that most kids can't read and that the system needs to be dismantled in many ways, well, that's going to be a big shakeup for a lot of administrators, pensioners, teachers, and they're not going to let go of that. Right. And right now, you know what people do?
They're not going to let go of it. These people are making pretty good salaries.
Yeah. They blame the families. The kids come here, they can't read, parents don't care. So you know what? We're just going to warehouse the kids. We'll make sure they're safe inside the building. We'll feed them, and we'll give them back to the parents at the end of the day.
And we'll give them a diploma.
And you know what? And we'll have record graduation rates, and that was to your point earlier. They were bragging about 87% of CPS kids graduating. Well, I just told you, most of them can't read, but they'll graduate them, make parents think that kids are okay, right? If your kids are graduating, they must be doing well, right? And it's not true. And that's why so many of them end up in remediation, well, in community college.
Yeah, but
it's
crazy. This is the thing, Ted. A lot of these parents did not get the, because this has been going on for more than a generation.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go as far as maybe three generations. So if you have three generations where they did not have an adequate education, that it wasn't even mediocre, they don't know what to expect from their children's school district. They just don't know. Those individuals who have parents that have been educators, and I'm going to tell you, in the Black community, before, you know, the Civil Rights Movement and thereafter, that was the only job. If you could have a degree in neurophysicist, and the only job you could get was teaching. And so that's what helped build the Black middle class. This is what's happening in the Latino or Latinx community, how they're building their middle class off of these jobs. But everybody we have failed at least two or three generations of people that have gone through the public school system. We're going to take a break. The calls are coming in, Ted. 773-591-1690. I want to hear from you. Do you find this information shocking? I talked to a young lady. I told you I was at the doctor, at a doctor's appointment. And she talked about how poor her education was. And she was at the top of her class from a public school. And I think it was a charter school. And she goes away to college, to Illinois State, and felt like she was the dumbest person in the class, and nobody should ever feel like that. But she was cheated out of a good education. 773-591-1690. Any young people out there, what was your experience? We'd like to hear from you. Tell Ted. He'd like to hear from it, and I would too. We'll be right back. All righty then, it is 10:22 on the Talk of Chicago. My guest is Ted Dabrowski, and he and his colleague, John Klingner, recently penned an article, 1.2 million Illinois public schools children can't read at grade level, and yet legislature unions push to kill the state's only school choice program. And you can find that on Wire Points. So I've got to ask you before I get to these calls, Ted, what is this sinister plot, if there is a sinister plot, to kill this this program that is called the Tax Credit Scholarship Program? I mean, it does. It sounds sinister, but I just don't want to believe that a child's education would be used as a political football.
Yeah, just a period. If I can, before I answer that question, I just want to make a point about the point you made before. You know, there's a lot of parents, and you're right, there's a lot of parents that, you know, have lost their ability to be educated, you know, and grandparents. So you got a tough situation for a lot of parents who just don't have the educational background to then support their kids. But that said, you know, I try to think of an example. Like, I know nothing about cars, but when I turn in my car to the car repair and I have to spend a lot of money, guess what? I expect to get back a car that works.
Right.
Right. And so here we are spending tons of tax dollar money, right? At CPS, it's $30,000 a kid that we're spending right now. So, you know, if I'm a parent and, you know, maybe I don't understand, you know, I didn't do my math and my reading, so I'm weak, but I know that I want my kid to do well.
Right.
I know that.
They
I know that,
all want
even
that.
Though I'm, right. So even though I'm weak, I know that I want for my kid education, because that's his or her chance to get out of this mess. And so I turn him or her over to the school district, and yet I get back this diploma. But guess what? You know, but it doesn't work. And so I think that's how we have to think about this. So now, answering your question about the school choice program.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, if you're a parent and you are upset, you know, Stacey Davis Gates, right? Her kid was reportedly supposed to go to Harlan High School,
mm-hmm.
and you know, there 95 out of every 100 kids can't read at grade level. So she didn't want to send her kid there, right? And that makes sense. What she did is she went and took her kid and put the kid in a private school.
At De La Salle.
Right?
Parochial.
At De La Salle.
Yeah.
There you go. And, you know, fair enough, right? Good choice for her. She's got the money. Let her do it. Now take another parent who lives right next door who happens to be not doesn't have the means, doesn't have a good job. She also doesn't want to send her kid to Harlan. Well, this school choice program would allow her to do that, to access the public money and send her kid to De La Salle or to another school.
Right.
Well, the unions are blocking that. Many legislators are blocking that. You know, Chris Welch has not come out in support of it. Harman, who's the Senate president,
right,
says maybe he is, maybe he's not. Well, Pritzker says maybe he is, maybe he's not, but they're not putting up the bills. They're not saying, yes, I'm going to support it, and they're not bringing together the Democrats to vote for it. Republicans are all on record saying they want school choice. Democrats, you know, they have the supermajorities. They're not supporting it. They're listening to the unions, and therefore the whole ploy is to make it look like they kind of want it, but they can't do it. And in the end, you know, Stacey Davis Gates has school choice, but her neighbor does not.
Mm. Let's go to Karen. Karen, you're on WVON. Good morning.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go right ahead, Karen.
I'll make this quick because I'm out. I'm a teacher. It so happens I took today off.
Okay.
You know, it's not as cut and dried as this, as your guest is making it to be. And I'm also Black, and I work in a predominantly Black school district. Don't work in Chicago.
Okay.
There are a lot of reasons our schools are failing. One of them is, many school districts will not retain students when they should. This is a policy. They
yes.
will not.
Yes. Okay.
Teachers have very, very little input mm-hmm. these days. And your guest aside, this doesn't concern him. We've got an issue in the Black community. I'm not talking about Black and brown people.
Right.
We've got some issues. Even when we move to nicer school districts, the truth is scores go down. And it's not necessarily because the teachers are teaching differently. We've got to do some things different. Parents have to hold themselves accountable as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are bad teachers.
Well,
I would
see,
never
that's what I was saying, Karen, when I said...
I would never say that there were not.
But this mm-hmm. is what I was saying. You've got parents and grandparents who are raising children that did not
yeah.
have the best education. And you being a teacher, you know that. They don't even
yeah,
know
but,
the questions to ask you
okay,
about
but,
their children's progress, right?
But that's not all. My okay. mom had me when she was 16.
Okay.
You know, many, this is what we have had for generations. What has changed? And I think it's a breakdown in the Black community. I think that's a big
in
part
the family,
of it. So,
in the family?
In the family. And okay. your guest is basically supporting charter school. And just take a look at the cities that have an abundance of charter schools, and look at what happens to the cities. Look at what happens to the public school system.
Right,
they are not good. I have, you know, I cannot determine where people send their children. I understand if they want to send their children to safer schools with what they deem a better curriculum.
What's your greatest
However,
challenge of educating? What is your of educating your students?
But can I just add one more thing?
Yes, go right ahead.
The choice and selective schools also have a different type of family. So their parents are doing some things different.
Right.
Different. They can have different guidelines and rules than a public school can have. We cannot kick any student out. They can. They have different rules and guidelines. Many of them, if you take a look at how many students are in special education,
mm-hmm.
Many of them are putting their children in special education so they get longer test times. There are a lot of things going on, even in some of these great Black charter schools in Chicago.
Okay.
My biggest challenge is discipline. And many of the Black school districts just do not enforce discipline or consistency, and we have systems issues. And teachers don't have anything to do with the curriculum most of the time.
All right. Ted,
and wait, one more thing.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. Can I say one more thing?
No,
and
no,
my
go
son
ahead.
Just graduated from U of I in 23 in May.
Oh, congratulations.
If you could see how many students graduated with education degrees. As the world as America continues to criticize teachers, you will see fewer becoming teachers.
Right.
And so then, you know, America can have it and they can educate their own children.
All right. Ted,
and they will see.
Ted, I'd like for you to address some of the things Karen said. And does she have legitimate concerns about the education
I think, you know,
and how we go about educating in some districts?
Yeah, for sure. As a teacher, she has very legitimate concerns. I think it's very tough to teach in CPS. And, you know, I think I should make a point clear. I have a beef with the unions and the power of the unions. I don't have beef with teachers. I think the system doesn't work anymore overall. The whole school system doesn't work. And so teachers, even if they want to do well, can't do well. I mean, listen to what Karen just said. There's no discipline in the system anymore. So, you know, if you want to be a tough teacher, but the system doesn't discipline, you're going to stand out as a bad guy or bad woman. The systems don't work. She said she doesn't control curriculum. Look at all those problems. But I think my main point to Karen would be, look, Karen, and you know, anybody can say whatever they want about their views about this, about education. I look at the bottom line facts that in so many schools, especially if you look at the South Side schools and the West Side schools, the number of kids who can read at grade level is teeny. It's teeny. It's almost zero. And so say whatever you want about whose fault it is and all that. We're spending a gazillion dollars to not educate kids. So my point is this, and this is the point for Karen as well. You know, think about school choice as if there were other schools, many other schools where people could go, teachers would be in demand for those schools. Teachers wouldn't be trapped in CPS where they can't discipline kids. Teachers wouldn't be trapped in CPS where they can't, you know, manage the curriculum. They could actually go to other schools where there's innovation, there is discipline, they're trying different things. Yeah, and you know, look, you can't get worse than these 5% reading levels at many schools. Let's do something different because we are trapped in a failing system.
All right, then, I've got to take a break. Karen, I hope he addressed it. Thank you for sharing, Karen. You were very cogent, and thank you for that. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll get to the rest of your calls. Stay with us. All righty then, it is 10:35. We've been talking to Ted Dabrowski of WirePoint, and I was looking at some of his most recent articles on WirePoint. One is, while Illinois set to kill school choice, North Carolina passes school choice for all. Another one, covering up Chicago's literacy problem. Another one is union boss Stacey Davis Gates slam dunks the case for school choice in a letter to union members. And I'm interested, Ted, what case did the teachers union president, Mrs. Stacey Davis Gates, that you said was a slam dunk? What did she say that resonated with you and your thoughts about what's happening with these children in these schools? A friend of mine just called and said, what other industry could produce at a 5% rate and still be in operation? And he also said, if these legislators turn their backs on these children who will get an opportunity to maybe do better than how their parents do it, he said he will never vote for a Democrat in the state of Illinois ever again. So go ahead with that, Ted, what I was asking you about industry, and what did Chicago Teachers Union President Stacey Davis Gates that you think probably made your case and so many others?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, kind of to that industry point, you know, I mentioned the car example. If I go get my car fixed, I expect it to work. You know, I may know nothing about cars, but if I hand over to them $7,000 to fix my motor, mm-hmm. well, you know, it better damn work, right?
Right, right.
And if it didn't, I would never go back there again. Guess what? I would go somewhere else. And I would hope that I have the choice of deciding where to go.
Right.
And that's exactly how it should be in these schools, right? We have public money. My kid does go to a public school, and he goes to a very good one. My kid goes to a public school, and the public money, the taxes, is what allows them to go there. And it should be that if I'm unhappy, I should be able to use those public tax dollars and use a different school, right? You know, it's public funded, public dollars,
right.
But I should have the choice of which school to put him in,
right.
Regardless of whether it's private, public, parochial, whatever, right? That's really, you know, that's how it works for college. But the unions don't want that. And so here, let's move to the Stacey Davis Gates. So, you know, she came out, she got caught, right? She got caught because nobody knew that she had taken out her kid from the public school. And if you follow Stacey Davis Gates, she had called private schools in the past, and, you know, when she's opposed school choice, mm-hmm. and vouchers, she's called the private schools segregation academies.
I remember that.
She's called them racist. And yet suddenly she did that. And she said, well, the reason I did that is because the opportunities on the South and West Side communities are limited.
Right.
And, the options for black school, for black students are really, low.
Right.
And she said it doesn't have the activities, the services. So it's exactly why we support school choice, because if you live in her same community and you have to go to Harlan Academy, well, it's not going to work. Certainly not going to educate your kid. And so therefore,
and if your child wants to participate in a lacrosse or a soccer team, they should have the choice to be able to do that without having to pay extracurricular fees to do something outside of that.
Correct.
I get it. I
correct.
Get it.
But Perry, forget sports, right? If you want your kid to read,
right.
Then I want my kid to go somewhere else. And that's the power we want to give people. But Stacey Davis Gates, she made the case exactly why everybody should have school choice, because she said my local school does not work for my son. It's horrible. She didn't say it's horrible. She said basically it's not good. And if you look at Harlan, again, I mentioned only 5 out of every 100 kids at that school can read at grade level. So
I'm sure of you who have students, I remember when Harlan was one of the best schools in the city. I really do.
Yeah.
Public schools in the city. And I knew a lot of young folks that graduated from there who were smarter than I am. I mean, I can tell you that. And they went on to do wonderful things. We have a lot of circuit court judges here in the city of Chicago, in the county of Cook, that are judges now, at least 5 that I know of. Let's go to Shapiro. Shapiro, you're on WVON.
Hi, Perry. It's your favorite young person.
How are you?
So I definitely believe that the school system itself needs to be revamped, because when you have a degree in art and you become the math teacher in the CPS system, or if you have a degree in math and you're the gym teacher, we're going to have a problem as far as that. I had the privilege of going. I went to a charter school and I went to a public school. The public high school that I went to is WELS. And the acronym that us as students came up with WELS over on Ashley and Augusta is We Educate Low Life Students.
Oh, my God.
That's horrible for your own students and peers to come up with that.
So let me ask you this. Did WELS fail you? And when did you know that you had been failed, and how did you come out of it?
As far as failed as education, you do have the teachers that care, and you have the teachers that are there just to get a check. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't say failed me. It definitely was a lot of behavioral issues, because it's West Side of Chicago.
Right.
But I believe like they could have done more, because when I transferred and I went to a Noble Charter School, I went to Pritzker College Prep.
Were you behind?
I had that feeling. Exactly. I had that feeling of I feel slow. This is too hard. The curriculum was way more fast paced and in depth than what I was learning at WELS. Mm. When it comes down to the parents, I didn't have parents that too much helped me with my homework, but I know when I was on punishment, go read a book.
Okay.
So I definitely think that when it comes to parents, a lot of parents like to put everything on
the teachers. Yeah.
And then you don't want to come home and help your child read, or with their book report, or with any type of homework. I know everyone sees now, the first thing they do is, oh, let me give you your tablet. They expect a tablet to educate these kids. So as far as them taking away funding from the school, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I feel like how would the funding really help when there are so many other aspects and background, that these students need?
Oh, God, that's a great call. Thank you so much. Ted, what do you think about what Shapiro had to say about this?
She said a lot of good things. I mean, again, a lot of this falls on the parents to help out, helping kids read, especially early young kids. So that's a huge part of it. But I also don't want to take the demands off the teachers, because, and I don't mean teachers, but the whole system, they happily take the money, right?
Right.
They're not saying, hey, I can't help your kid, here's your money back. No, they're keeping the $45 billion that's being spent. So they have an obligation, and you know, and an obligation to demand discipline in the classroom. I think we have to get back to discipline. They have an obligation to say, hey, you are going to read at grade level. We're going to work on it. And you know, the other obligation is to dump all the other stuff. There's a lot of extra stuff, right? All this equity and critical race theory and sex stuff and trans stuff. All that stuff needs to be gone. And what they need to focus on is good old-fashioned reading and good old-fashioned math, because if the kids don't have that basic skill, they can't do the rest, right? So that's it.
I was shocked that they don't teach phonics anymore. I can read anything because I learned phonics. I can read anything. I can read Latin. I can read anything. But for the most part, these young people today can't spell anything. Cannot spell.
Put
a sentence together. And that's partly because of the technology, I believe, too. Let's go to Brian. Brian, you're on WBON with Ted Dabrowski. Go right ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Am I on?
Yes, you are, Brian. Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to make two quick points about education and even the workforce, which that's another subject.
Mm-hmm.
We need to face it. Education is just not a top priority with a lot of parents and kids today. Not all of them, but a lot of them, that it was 40 years ago.
That's true.
I looked at that protest with the Israelis and Hamas thing. I didn't realize you had so many foreign students going to school here in America. That just tells me, if it weren't for the foreign students going to these universities and schools, a lot of these universities and schools are probably had to shut down because the interest ain't there with a lot of us no more. And far as the workforce, I know a lot of people under 40, it's young people, 40, 35, they ain't worked a job for 2 years in their life. They simply can't get up and go to work for a year and a half straight.
That's true.
I don't care what you put into schools, the parents got to give a damn first. So thanks for hearing my call.
Okay, thank you. Parental responsibility. That's what they were talking about with Mr. Cremo, who was the father of the man that killed all those people in Highland Park on the 4th of July. And I get what people are saying, Ted. You can't put all of this on the teachers. No, you can't. But the systems have to be revamped. We have to look at education differently. And I don't think that people want to go there that far, because I'll tell you, I am not so sure that if President Trump wins the nomination, becomes president again, that you'll even have a Department of Education. And maybe we don't need a Department of Education. I don't know. I am not versed on that. But it's interesting. We'll be right back. I've got a bank full of calls. We'll be right back. Alrighty then, we have been talking to Ted Dabrowski, and Ted, thank you. You've been so generous with your time. I really do.
Thank you, Perry.
Appreciate it, and thanks for giving us an idea about what's going on with the Kids Act. The plot to kill the Invest in Kids Act, you guys write, is playing out as we said it would back in May. Then as now, Republicans want to preserve the program as is, and Democratic leadership does not. That's why the program's reauthorization wasn't included in the 2024 budget as it should have been. We predicated the bill would have shoved into the veto session as a standalone item where the program would be maimed by compromise or not even come up for a vote, meaning it dies. That is precisely what's happening. The latest compromise bill cuts the program size and reduces the incentive for donors to give. Such changes would inevitably result in the slow death of the program, and the bill should be rejected outright. So what kind of breaks do donors give? Who actually funds this program?
Yes. So the funding is actually done by individuals. It could be you and me, right? We donate to a scholarship fund. And when we do that, the state gives us a tax break on our state taxes. We get a 75% break.
Wow.
So if I give $1,000 to the scholarship fund, then I get a $750 break on my taxes. So it costs me net $250 to donate. So it's really people are the ones donating the money that goes into the scholarship fund. And the state is allowing a tax break to those individuals who donate. And that's how it's funded.
I just
feel really bad.
I just feel bad for the families and specifically the students who have found a home. Like, for example, at Leo Catholic High School, they have found a home. They really care about those children. They are doing mm-hmm. well. They go on to college or certifications and everything. They do everything right. My next-door neighbor, whose father was at one time an interim superintendent of Chicago Public Schools, she lives in the house that they lived in. And she raised her son by herself, and Leo High School provided the best education for him, that he's now downstate playing baseball and doing well in his academics. I know a lot of kids that went to Leo, and, you know, for some families, it saved their kids from the streets and all the other nonsense out there. Let's go to let's go to the tax doctor. You're on WVON. Good morning.
Good morning. Great topic. I have to disagree with Stacey Gates, because you are the president of CTU, and you're telling us you cannot put your child in a CPS school, and yet you're getting ready to fight for a new contract and ask for more money for these teachers. I have a problem with that. And another problem we have, number one, we got too many school districts, 859, and we spend $20.8 billion for education.
And I wanted to ask Ted about that. Do we have too many school districts? We have districts where there might be one or two schools actually in the district.
Yeah. The tax doctor's right. We have 850 school districts. Some of them are teeny, right? So we have a problem. We have one really big school district, CPS, which is way too big, right? It's cumbersome. Nobody knows what the hell goes on in it. And then on the other hand, we have some school districts that might have 60, 80 students. It's too much. It's just too much bureaucracy for all that. So yes, they should be slimmed down a lot.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, tax doctor. Go ahead.
Also, I want folks to know who live in Cook County. We got 140 school districts in Cook County. Let me repeat that. 140.
And we only have 102 counties in the state of Illinois.
That's right. You hit the nail on the head, Perry. And that's why we the people moving. We're pushing to consolidate these counties from 102 to 50. The 859 school districts down to 50 unified county districts. We got too many superintendents, too many administrators. And Perry, how can you gain 9,000 administrators and you're losing teachers and students? Can you explain that to me?
No, I can't, Ted. Would you like to try?
No, it's as tax doctor says, we got the I think it's the third most or fifth most school districts in the country, and many of them are overlapping. I mean, I tell you that the big problem is in places like where I live in New Trier up there in Wilmette, we have many overlapping districts that could just be combined into one, but instead we keep many, and then you have all these superintendents making multimillion-dollar pensions. We could cut spending and have more money for the classrooms if we just cut out all these bureaucrats. But we don't, because we protect the system.
All right. Thank you, tax doctor. Let's see. It's 10:55. Let's go to Keith. Keith, you're on WVON.
Good morning, Perry. Thank you for the forum and giving me the ability to speak in it. I'm just talking from my experience. I really appreciate and love my mother for paying for education twice. She sent me to De La Salle, St. Rita, TS, and I went to TS Health with my dad to graduate out there. But she paid her property tax, which paid for CVS section.
Other people to go to children, yeah, paid for other children to go to school.
And then she paid for me to go to these schools. So I agree with. I usually don't agree with conservative people so much. I mean, but I guess I'm middle of the road anyway. But I agree that the competition is the American way. Maybe it could break the status quo. open it up. Let parents decide where they want to send their kids. Thank you for the time. Good day.
All right, then. So, Ted, I'm going to let you have the last word on this. Go right ahead.
Yeah, so, thanks to Keith for his comments. A little competition will not hurt CPS. It'll only help it. Look, what I really appreciated from this phone call is how much the listeners, you know, put on the parents and the families, because that's the fundamental, right? No matter what happens, you know, families and parents have to be more engaged in the kids' education. So that's key. And we could have a whole discussion about that, and we should.
Yeah, we will.
But when it comes to this school choice, I think many parents also don't feel like they can engage, because, you know, I talk to parents who just shrug their shoulders and say, hey, what can I do? These schools are what they are. There's nothing for me to do. Now imagine if that mom or grandmother were given a chance to send the kid to whatever school she could find that was thought was best for that kid. Mm-hmm. Wow. Suddenly they could actually look around and say, hey, I want that school because that one's good. Kids are learning there. It's safe. And so that would be the real empowerment that I dream about. You know, I don't care who that parent is and how educated or uneducated, how poor, how rich. When you empower parents, things change. And we don't empower parents anymore. We force them to send their kids to failing schools down the street. And that's not fair. We should break that system and empower parents to choose the school that's best for their kids.
Can I just ask you a really quick question, and we'll have to talk mm-hmm. about this. The impact of the migrants on public schools in the city. I think the city is very welcoming because, you know, with enrollment dropping in the Chicago public schools, they're right at where they were last year because of the migrants. And the migrant children. Is that fair to the rest of us?
Man, if I tell you, and listen, my parents were immigrants. My mom came from Ecuador when she was young. My dad came from Poland. I'm a huge supporter of immigration.
Right.
That said, I'm not a supporter of just open borders where people flood in. If I were a black family in Chicago, in the South Side or West Side, or a Hispanic family, I would be really ticked off because of what I just heard from me of the grades and the failure of the school system. It can't even teach the kids it has today. What the heck's it going to do when it takes on other new kids who aren't citizens, who can't speak the language, who are also very poor? It's going to make the system worse. And so we need to defend our own kids and fix our stuff first before we let in floods of immigrants in.
Ted Dabrowski, thank you so much. Tell our listeners how they can follow you and look at these articles that I was telling you.
Yeah, please come to wirepoints.org, and we're in social media at wirepoints. And we'd love to see you sign up for our newsletter. We put out the news that we think others won't talk about, and happy to do it for you. And it's a free newsletter. Sign up and try it out.
Oh, well, we talk about it on WVON. Thank you so much, Ted Dabrowski.
Hey, Perry, thank you for having me on.
And thanks to all of the callers, and we'll continue our discussion.